The last 10 seconds of the Michigan State football game at Michigan last season will forever live in the hearts of Spartan fans. The Wolverines led 23-21 and only needed to execute a punt from the MSU 47-yard line to close out a victory. Things didn't turn out that way, though.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free! Picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game! Unbelievable!
Bad snap. Bobble. Oh, scooped up. Here come the Spartans. Down the sideline. Racing into the end zone.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Racing into the end zone is Jalen. Watts Jackson. Touchdown, MSU.
Touchdown.
Folks, no flags. Piling on each other in the end zone. It's over.
Michigan State is still the big boy on the block in the state of Michigan. A shocking ending to this rivalry game.
And that score gave MSU a 27-23 win for the ages over their rivals from Ann Arbor. The Spartans are in the midst of a five-game losing streak now, heading into Saturday's rematch with the Wolverines. So MSU fans are hoping for a similar miracle tomorrow. Author and sports broadcaster Jack Ebling, along with co-author Joe Rexroad, has written a book about that game and its aftermath. It's called The Perfect 10. Ebling talked with Al Martin, the host of WKAR's Current Sports, about the book. He says when the play happened, he was at the game with a friend and colleague who's as big a Michigan fan as there is.
I was sitting next to Tom Crawford. I had just come across the press box all the way across to congratulate him. And I figured, okay, there's nobody back. They're just going to punt the ball. It's going to bounce around for a while. And then I saw that they weren't blocking anybody, and they had gunners on both sides. And then the snap was a little low, and Blake O'Neill decided he was going to play Australian rules football. And next thing you know, Grayson Miller has the hit that you see on the cover here. We call it the Heimlich maneuver. He just happened to hit his arm, and there goes the ball. Up
exactly.
And Jalen's got it, and here comes a sea of white down the sideline. First thing I thought was, there has to be a flag. I mean, I've seen Michigan State get flags for breathing.
Exactly.
And I said, okay, I don't know how many they're going to be. There has to be one. And when I looked around, I said out loud, there has to be a flag.
For you, where does that moment rank when it comes to the most memorable Spartan plays that you have professionally covered?
It's probably tied with the 1974 Ohio State ending when Ohio State was number one. Michigan State wasn't on the radar. The Spartans won with an 88-yard run in the final minutes. And then for 45 seconds, no one knew who had won the game. Mm-hmm. And Ohio State fans are jumping up and down. And Michigan State fans are jumping up and down. It took 45 minutes for Commissioner Wayne Duke to figure out who had won.
Wow. That had to be so odd.
The funny part about that, Al, was that in the midst of all the pandemonium in the Michigan State locker room, someone came in and said, stop, Troy Hickman has been killed by a falling goalpost. Troy was the assistant equipment manager and beloved by the players. And in the midst of the celebration, the goalpost had come down, hit him in the head. And now you imagine going from the highest high to the lowest low imaginable, and everyone's crying. 45 seconds later, Troy Hickman walks into the locker room. It had all been...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, what a moment.
What a moment.
That's hard to top, I see, Jack.
And then Wayne Duke had to go tell Woody Hayes his team lost. You can imagine what that was like.
I would have loved to be in a fly on the wall for that.
But this
moment.
One was right there. And in terms of seeing some fan base that was so confident, some would say arrogant, some would say smug, mm-hmm. and then to have the football yanked away, Charlie Brown, it's hard to top that one. What we have in this book, Al, and I think it's my favorite part of the book. In the final 42 pages, we have reflections from Michigan people, Michigan State people, people whose lives have basically been changed for the past year because of that play.
Wow.
And, the director of the Spartan Marching Band, John T. Madden, he had got everything ready to go, and they were heading to the exit. They weren't even going to do the postgame show.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly he said, you know what? Get the stuff out. We're going down on the field.
How about that?
Yeah, Tom Izzo, who could not see
exactly
the play. He had been on the sidelines with his son Steven for the entire game, had taken so much abuse coming in and stuff being thrown at him, and finally he said, we're getting out of here, and he'd gone up the tunnel, and then he heard this noise like he'd never heard before, and he runs back down the tunnel, and you imagine security keeping Tom Izzo out of the field so he couldn't see anything, and he's just trying to guess
exactly
what had happened.
He didn't know what was going on in that moment, right?
Chris Baldwin, the famous Surrender Cobra
guy. Yes, right.
He's in the book.
He's in the book.
Yeah, we interviewed him, and his sister's a Michigan State graduate, and she's only bothered him every single day of his life. But he has that on his resume, the fact that he is the Surrender Cobra guy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That is golden. Yeah. So you really, you know, crossed your T's and dotted your I's with this, Jack. When did yourself and Joe decided that you wanted to make the perfect 10? I mean, when did it hit you like, okay, we need to put something out. This would be kind of fun.
I got the idea riding home with Tom Crawford. Now, he couldn't speak. He was in a catatonic fit at that point. So I said, you know what? There's really something here. We're going to talk about this for 50 years.
Yeah.
We have to record this. We have to somehow preserve this for posterity. So I started thinking, what could we do? How could we do it? And then I met with Rex Rode the next night. Mm-hmm. We'd done the television show. And I said, I need to run an idea by you. Tell me if you think I'm an idiot. And he jumped all over it. I didn't know he was going to go to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And be the columnist for the Tennessean, which complicated things. But for his half the book, he is probably the only author who ever wrote a football book between periods of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh, my goodness. He's so he worked on that while at the Stanley Cup Finals?
During the playoffs, yes. During the games.
My
yes.
goodness.
Yes. So, yeah, we talked to over 350 people, and it's 284 pages if you count the foreword by George Blaha and all those things. So,
right.
Some tremendous pictures by Matthew Mitchell, and we hope that people like it.
We are chatting with Jack Ebling, his latest book entitled The Perfect 10.
This cover shot, you can see the look of panic in Jake Butt's eyes.
Yes, you can.
He is looking back, and just as Grayson Miller and here comes Matt Morrissey delivering this hit, and Jake Butt is saying, oh, bleep.
Right, right.
And here comes the ball up in the air. I thought the guy who could have been the hero of heroes a couple times was Jake Butt, one with the most heroic tackle if he'd made it 1 yard sooner. But two, if you imagine a three-man blocking shield up in front, if he had just noticed that, hey, they got four guys and no one's touching them, I'm just going to lurch forward and get
right.
a penalty, illegal motion, 5 yards, they reset, they bring in the gunners, everything is okay.
There's so many different scenarios that could have played out in that 10 seconds.
We
right?
go through about 30 scenarios of how it could have been different.
Sheesh.
We hope a lot of people will like this book, and we think Jim Harbaugh won't be one of them.
Jack Ebling with WKAR's Al Martin, host of Current Sports. Jack's new book with co-author Joe Rexroad is about last year's Michigan State-Michigan football game. It's called The Perfect 10.